Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The sounds and sights of Sebring International Raceway in front of a huge crowd. Second place in GTD, Bill Oberlin in his 500th race start for BMW is 3.5 seconds behind the leader Phil Ellis, Philip Ellis in the Winwood Racing car, but Antonio Fuoco in the Ferrari is right up his tailpipes at the moment. It's a mostly blue Ferrari with a bit of yellow tape and a red door. Yes. That tells you the story that they may not have had a perfect race. Now, in our Porsche keys to the race, keep the car in one piece to the end, or basically just find spares from anywhere and bolt them on. As my much missed father might have said, and he was a policeman for most of his adult working life, it's not pretty, but it would confuse the witnesses, and it's still very quick as well for that car. Chetelaar, yeah. Obviously you've been busy, but Fuoco's doing a really good job there. If you're keeping Bill Oberlin honest at any time on a racetrack here in the US, you are doing a very good job indeed.
I mean, Fuoco is flying. I mean, the former open wheel driver is absolutely flying. He was in 10th place at the restart in GTD, is now up to third, it's just a matter of time, I think, before he finds a way past Bill Oberlin, and then sets his sights on Phil Ellis, who leads the class in the Winwood Mercedes, because he has absolutely flown through this field. That's Antonio Fuoco.
No driver change for the racing team Nederland car, but they are doing all the other service that they can, cleaning off the windshield, checking under the floor to make sure that everything looks good, and 4 new Michelin tires as well as a full tank of fuel. It is still, I think that's Dylan Murray's helmet behind the wheel. Seeing big eyes looking up, and the pit board is in hand for the car chief. Engine fires back up as we get 2 of the GTE Pro cars in as well. I'll keep an eye on those. That's the 14 and the 62. So the away goes the Racing Team Nederland LMP2 machine. Alrighty, so GTE Pro, we've got a driver change for the 14 Lexus. That is Hawksworth out, Tielitz in. Remember, this is a pro car for this year.
Off the road.
They are doing fuel and tires. Can't see Reese though, John.
Bill Oberlin off the road at turn 3, and
he helped.
I think there's a little bit of damage on that car as he came through, maybe on the back of that machine. Also burning a bit of VP Racing fuel, just a slight discoloration visible on the side as he came into the corner. He had Fortwell right behind him. Fortwell comes from a long way back and nails the left rear. It's going to be a penalty for Chetelaar Racing.
He was not there.
That's a really, really silly mistake from Antonio. He'd been doing such a good job. Just a little rub on the left rear, and that was enough to turn the Liqui Moly Turner car. It's under review, meantime.
That won't take long.
That is not a hard decision, is it? Let's be honest. We've got Winwood in the pit lane, and I think that's early shit, Adam.
It's not a good stop either, John. They put the hood up. There were 3 mechanics looking under it. They're trying to close the driver's side door once again, but it keeps popping open. I'm walking down that way. I'll let you know what it looks like when I get there, but there's no urgency in getting this car back out. This was one of our front runners before that round of cautions.
Prescott Motorsports celebrating their anniversary this weekend. Hi, guys. Hello, team. Chetelaar Racing, the new Benetton. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, they're certainly the united colours of Chetelaar at the moment. Looks very much to me as though, other than the rub, there was no damage. Nothing's fallen off. I don't think the BMW of Bill Oberlin and Antonio Fuoco in the 47 Chetelaar Ferrari drive through penalty. He was just too far back, Jeremy.
Yeah, I can't imagine what he was thinking.
Barely got to the rear wheel with his nose. A tiny bit of carbon fibre came up, but I think actually that was off from the Ferrari's front right onto the left rear. And what did that do to Bill Oberlin's position? You get a drive through for the person that's done it. What you can't do is give back the positions that Bill Oberlin has lost. Oberlin was in second position, and he's dropped down to eighth. Fuoco's gone into the lead there. Who's pitted then? Phil Ellis has pitted for Winward. That's right, we just told you. We said that he came in from the lead. And meantime, on the exit of the pit lane, that is the number 54 Core Autosport car. Now, he wasn't coming out of the pit lane, so he's pulled over to as far as he could, driver's right, to get into the pit lane exit. So that was a smart piece of driving there by Core Autosport, or maybe the team said to do that. And that is John Bennett behind the wheel of that car. So that has triggered a whole load of pit stops. Jose Maria Lopez is in and out. Tristan Vautier about to leave. And he's been replaced by Richard Westbrook in the number 5 JDC Miller Motorsports Cadillac. Mikkel Jensen came in from the lead of P2. First and second, by the way, in P2 at the point when Mikkel peeled into the pit lane for PR1 Matheson Motorsport, the 52 and the 11. Ryan Diehl in, Duncan Tappy in the 18 era and the 22 United Autosports car. Pfaff Motorsports with the driveway Porsche. Matt Campbell coming into the pits. Not sure that car can be left there. And not sure how you move it without a full course yellow, because you're not going to put people out. Here's the leader into the pit lane as Shea Adam. Sorry, Jeremy, go
ahead. Well, just very quickly, he had reset his best lap last time around, Ricky Taylor.
Yeah, to pull out a 4.2 second lead over Tom Plonkvist. Top four in the pit lane. Shea Adam.
It's an alternator or a battery issue for Windward. As the full course caution is out, Wayne Taylor Racing did make it into the pit lane for the Konica Minolta Acura. Will Stevens is in, and they are doing four tires as Ricky Taylor jumps back out over the wall. Also into the pits was the Meyer Shank Racing Acura. That, too, is a driver change. Ollie Jarvis getting in there. Four tires and fuel.
Full course yellow, number 7 for this race, and already the leading car is moving and on its way to pit out. So who got in before? Tristan Nunes in the number 31, 16, Brian Hardwick.
All the leaders were in. All the DPI cars have made a stop.
Okay. Will Stevens got in to replace Ricky Taylor. Josh Pearson's come into a closed pit in the number 11 PR1 Matheson Motorsport. 5 seconds of fuel only. So all of those cars coming in were due a pit stop anyway, by the sound of it. And the 7th full course caution to retrieve the stranded John Bennett. So, Jeremy, as ever, with the lap chart. It's called a lap chart because it's in his lap. That's why they call it that. Just let you know the history of these things. Under 5 hours to go. 9 minutes under 5 hours to go. Still some very important racing to do here. And clearly the crowd know that because they're not moving. There's a few golf carts buzzing around on the infield, but this one is not by no means done and dusted. There'll be a few parties tonight on the infield as well, and then tomorrow morning the big exodus starts. So many motorhomes, so many RVs here down the left hand side, the driver's left of the Ullman Straight. New parking areas there as well. I mean, I don't think that there is an RV space, that there was an RV space left here. So just waiting for the leaders to be picked up. John Bennett has resumed. So the 54 car has either been push-started, bump-started, or the team have talked the way through it. Message from race control that had restarted. John Bennett just a few seconds ago has resumed. Let's see if we can visually confirm that. Shea, you might be able to see the cars to just outside of the pit lane exit. So another green flag period of round about half an hour, 27 and a half minutes. We'll give you a VP Racing Fuels in-race update in a moment. In fact, let's do that now before we get any more pit stops. As the timing says now, we'll let them come across the line and then work out where we think they are. As we had the top four in the pit lane just before, they're so the top four came in just before the full course yellow came out.
And the other two were in the previous lap, John, that's correct.
Yeah. So Will Stevens leads behind the safety car. Seventh time of asking that car's been out. Tom Blomqvist second. So number 10 from number 60. Acura from Acura. The black and blue from the pink and white. Then Neil Janney for the 0-2. That's the black and red Cadillac racing car. Then Jose Maria Lopez Pachito, former World Touring Car Champion for Ally Cadillac. That's the number 48. Shouldn't really need to tell you what colour that is. That's a white with shades of purple. Wheel and Engineering is red and white. That's the 31 car. And then Richard Westbrook makes up the top six. Josh Pearson for PR1 Bathurst Motorsport will be taking a drive-through at the end of the pit cycle because he had to have emergency service for 5 seconds for PR1 Matheson Motorsport. So that's going to rather put a crease in his.
It actually won't. They should still be on a lead lap.
Right.
There should be ultimately no. And they'll be in the same position as they were before the other guys had made their pit stops. Because the other guys came in just before the caution period. So it actually won't affect them.
It's going to be Jonathan Balmerito who actually serves the drive-through because he's waiting to get into that number 11 PR1 Matheson Motorsport LMP2 machine.
So will they? So they'll do their normal pit schedule, Shea.
Yes.
And then when we go back green, they'll come through again and effectively just do a drive-through. They don't have to stop at their pit. Again, we have to keep explaining this, people joining us all the time.
The way that emergency service works is you come in for 5 seconds of fuel or whatever else new, emergency service
yeah,
you need.
Yeah, new tire if you've got a puncture
correct.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Then you come back in when the pits are open for your class, and then you do your drive-through when the pits are open for everybody.
Yeah, understood. So there's still a slight penalty, but not as bad as if you stopped out on the circuit and therefore caused more issues for everybody else as well. At IMSA Radio, if you'd like to get near us and give us a little shout. Just finish the rundown there. LMP3, Felipe Fraga for Riley Motorsports in the blue and orange number 74. Ligier, it's Ligier's 1, 2 and 3 by the way. Garrett Grist for Junior 3 Racing in the 30 car in second. And then Joao Barbosa in the Stars and Stripes Sean Creech Motorsport car. Back on the lead lap again in the 33 car as I say. John Bennett is still showing a stop, so I think that might have been a rogue message. In the GT classes, Nicky Katzberg for Corvette, Chevy Corvette number 3, BMW M Team RLL as they are this year, the 24 Philippe Eng. Then Mirko Bortolotti in the 63 bright green Lamborghini. I did see the 25 BMW getting another lap back as they've started the way by. In GDT, your top three, Daniel Morad for Allegra Mercedes number 28, the silver car, Jordan Pepper for Inception, the dark-coloured McLaren number 70, and Spencer Pumpelly for the 44 Aston Martin Vantage of Magnus Racing. That's your VP Racing Fuel updates. Those are the cars that are making power at the moment. Shit.
Well, we've got Jonathan Bomarito getting ready to make some power in the number 11 PR1 Matheson Motorsport car. We've got John Ferrano getting back into the number 8. It was a splash of fuel. Sorry, that's a Tower Motorsport car, I should say. The number 18 Era Motorsport car took fuel only, just a splash. They managed to get back down the pit lane and moving very quickly indeed. 74 is in. That is the Riley Technology LMP3 machine pitting from the lead. Kai Van Berlo taking over for Felipe Fraga, his second ever start. He's got a perfect record so far, does Kai at Van Berlo, including two wins earlier in the weekend. We've also got the 33 for Sean Creech Motorsport in. That is a driver change. And I think, yes, that is Core that made it back into the pit lane. Crucial Motorsport. Did they just come back from behind the wall, John?
Yes.
Okay, yep. That makes sense then, because they're rolling down the pit lane now, and it is not open for GTs yet, so that mildly confused me.
So actually, I was right then. I should have gone with what I saw on the screen and not what I was seeing on the timing, which was still a grayed out John Bennett. And so he did make a back round of the pit here. Can we just confirm that in that Core 54?
Yep, definitely. That's the car that is stationed right behind Windward, and both cars are currently sitting in their pit boxes, although John's just been pushed back, fires it up into life. The headlights roar. Now let's see if it is still Mr. Bennett or if it is perhaps Mr. Brown at this stage. Nope, that's John's helmet. So John's still driving duties at this stage in the race.
Yeah, unfortunately though, he's dropped 5 laps now to the LMP3 leaders. We've still got 3 cars on the lead lap in LMP3. Number 30, well, they came into the pits in the order 74, 30 and 33. See what the order is after the pit stops are made, because all 3 of those cars were into the pits.
Thanks to Double Wave Yellows for the kind words. He said, "I'm in awe of the IMSA radio broadcast. It never wanes for hours on end. I can't even hold a conversation for more than half an hour without a break. It's incredible. It's because there's stuff to talk about, DWY. And we've got a good team as well. Information coming in from all over the place, including from yourselves on the collective at IMSA Radio. Thank you very much. It's a kind thing to say. We've got effectively 5 classes here, and we have got 5 classes here, so there's always a class battle going on somewhere. One of the things I would say that it's immensely helpful for us to be part of the World Feet TV, because although we're not absolutely triggered by everything that goes on the screen, it does give us an opportunity to look around the circuit to places we wouldn't be able to see if we were just in a commentary box overlooking the start finish line. And the thanks for that has to go to IMSA and to NASCAR Productions and everybody involved in making that TV magic happen. We're in a very fortunate position here to be able to talk directly, albeit just in text form, with the production team up in Charlotte, where they do all of the TV production for the network broadcast remotely. It's a big operation here and back up in Charlotte. And everyone from Radio Mic Suppliers back to BSI this year, and welcome back to the fold for Bubba Clark, one of our original members of the technical staff. Also, we need, you know, internet and TV pictures and timing and scoring, Al Kamel providing that, of course. It's a big team effort, but Double Bit of Yellows, thank you for your kind words. GTs are in with your shit.
I got a lot of them. Andrea Caldarelli is into the number 63 Lamborghini. That's fuel and tires. We've got Joel Gagnon out tomorrow angle into the 97 WeatherTech Mercedes. It is a driver change as well in the 79 WeatherTech. That is Alessio Piccarello getting in. 24 BMW driver change. That is Philip Eng, who jumps out and goes over the wall. I think that was Nick Yellowly's helmet, if I'm completely correct on that. Number 3 Corvette was the first one into the pit lane. It's the first one back rolling once again. Then the Lamborghini, then the Lexus. No, the Lexus actually jumps the Lamborghini on that pit stop. Good job by the number 12 Lexus crew.
GTD car. 2 versions of GTD in terms of the timing and scoring and the points paying. Cars are the same specification and balance of performance, driver makeup, driver talent makeup in the 3 drivers lineup is what that makes the difference there. You're allowed 3 pro drivers in the pro and not in the GTD category. Must have amateur driver in there. So, with the pit stops now complete, a whole load of orange on my screen, which is cars just out of the pit lane from 18th on down, with the notable exception of Performance Tech. Dan Goldberg getting a lap back, I suspect. Stayed out of the pit lane there. Few walking wounded. Bring you up to date with them again if you've just joined us. Andretti Autosport barely got going today with an engine problem. Jarrett Andretti just credited with one lap. 83 laps in. Accident for Juan Pablo Montoya, having just taken over the Dragon Speed Orica LMP2. They'd been right at the front of the field in Sebastian Montoya, Juan's young son, just 16-year-old. Had done a great job. Juan unable to avoid someone else's accident. And that car is out, as is the Milner Motorsports Duquesne. Harry Gottsacker in the wall, the tyre wall at 17. Tom Gamble for the Hart Racing team. Both of those Aston Martins. Well, that one's the 27. Not seen that for a while. The 23 had some issues as well. And more, some of whom have got back out again. Shea Adam in the pit lane.
With Philip Lang fresh out of the BMW. Philip, the first thing I said was that fun? And you got a big smile on your face. Yes, that kind of intense battling, that's what you're here for, isn't it?
This championship is so much fun. I mean, on this track at Sebring, with all the bumps, and our new car is really on fire this weekend. It feels extremely good. Really chapeau to the guys. They did a great job on making a step in terms of development after setup development after Daytona.
Corvette didn't do a driver change. You guys did. That meant that they got out in front for now. But how much longer do you think that they'll be there?
Well, they are very quick. I had a very intense battle with Nicky, which was very good fun. Always fair, but very hard. That's how I like to race. That's why I love the racing over here. So still a long way to go, but I think we are not so bad.
Fingers crossed for you.
Thanks.
So, getting ready to go back to green. The class split is going on at the moment. Jeremy Shaw and John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Just after 5:30 local time. A couple of cars in for splashes of fuel, Shea Adam, trying to stretch their fuel window.
That really confused me at first, because the Mustang sampling Cadillac and the Whelen Engineering Cadillac are nowhere near needing to come into this pit stop, but they did, and they took splashes, so they have one lap better on fuel than everybody else.
It's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, we are 40 minutes
to the 8-hour mark for the.
We're 40 minutes away from the 8-hour mark. Yeah, if there's another caution, they should be able to get to that 8-hour mark from here, whereas most likely the other contenders will need a pit stop before then.
So, waiting for the lights to go out on the safety car. The Windward Racing car that was going so well, the 57 Mercedes-AMG GT3. Electrical issues for that car. New battery, hopefully, they think will have cured that. Shea, can you remember what happened earlier on? We had a couple of long stops for AWA. What was that? And then didn't it have an accident as well?
They've had a couple of teething issues with that car today. Yes, John, they've had a difficult day. And then, of course, their driver cooling system was not working to perfection, so they had to single stint their drivers, and then they had to put Ore back in the car after he had already finished his drive time, so they've been having a day of it.
That car is out again. Ore Fadani behind the wheel. 17 laps off the overall lead, which means there are 8 laps off the lead in LMP3, currently held by Junior 3 Racing.
By the way, John, the Ferrari of Risa Competizione,
car number
62, another lap back, yeah.
What's that down to now?
4 laps back now, with, 4 hours and 35 minutes remaining in the race. Intriguing. still a couple of laps behind, actually three laps behind, even the next to the GTD non-pro cars. But look, they've already made up at least three laps, probably four, possibly more than that. When was the problem?
Oh, ages ago.
Yeah, quite.
It was a very, very long time ago, because they went in, first couple of hours, maybe? Maybe even earlier than that. Back to Green Flag Racing here at Sebring. 4.5 hours, a little bit more than that, still to go. We've had the same conditions all day, with a little bit of sort of Simpsons-like cloud hanging over us. Well, thoughts that we might get some showers later on in the afternoon. That hasn't arrived yet.
There were seven laps back.
Right.
I think after 3 hours, it was in the third hour they had the problem.
Power steering issues plaguing that car.
So now they've, there were seven, and now four laps behind. So, and that's in the third hour. We're now in the eighth hour.
Yeah, that's 5 hours.
Yeah.
Time. There's still 4.5 hours to go. You don't automatically, there's no lucky dog here, so you don't automatically get a free pass. You have to be in the right place on the racetrack when the safety car comes out. So at the front of the field, the number 10, Conningham and Alta Acura, was leading. Where's Will Stevens gone? Maya Shank, Ollie Jarvis has the Cadillac of Neil Chani right on his wheel tracks. Maya Shank side by side with the Cadillac. Was there a little touch there from the 0-2? No, there wasn't. Neil Chani just avoiding the back of Ollie Jarvis's car. Will Stevens has cleared off to 1.5 seconds. I was expecting him to be right in front of that battle for second, third and fourth with Richard Westbrook's there. Will Stevens, Ollie Jarvis, Neil Chani, Richard Westbrook, Tristan Nunes, Jose Maria Lopez. What a quality set of drivers in the top six there in the main DPI class, and they're separated even after a couple of laps of racing of only 6 seconds. Here comes the LMP3 battle. Kai van Berlo to the lead, ahead of Malte Jakobsen. Riley Motorsports ahead of Sean Creech, and Junior 3 Racing, Garrett Grist goes down to third. Fast MD Racing's James Vance a few laps further back. John Bennett back running again now, and he's trying to chase down James Vance for fourth position. In LMP2, 4 seconds between Scott Huffaker and Kyle Tilley, the Indianapolis domiciled Brit. For Aero Motorsport in second place, and the number 18 chasing down the 52 wins car. Then Jonathan Bomarino for PR1 Matheson Motorsport. Another 2 seconds further back. Racing Team Netherlands back in it in fourth position. Well, they're just, I think, a further lap back, actually. They're not on the lead lap in the LMP2 classes. Wynn would have gone back behind the wall with that electrical issue. Corvette having a battle at the head of the GTD Pro Field.
Yeah. And after those pit stops, John, all of a sudden the number
Matt Campbell's 9 Campbell's gone through, has he?
Yeah, the number 9 Porsche has leapfrogged to the front of the field. It came in to the pits. Everybody pitted during that caution period, but it leapt all the way from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th position to the lead. Now holding off the Corvette. And right behind the Corvette is Aaron Tielitz in the Lexus. And Nick Yellerly in the BMW, Andrea Caldarelli in a Lamborghini, Alessio Picchiarello in another Porsche, and then the other WeatherTech car, the Mercedes, Mauro Engel at the wheel of that as well, all in a train.
Seeing that car 54 has been listed as behind the wall as well.
Where are you?
Very good. One for the youngsters there, Jeremy. 4.5 to go. 4.5 hours, that is. 20 minutes before 6 in the evening, about an hour to sunset, a little bit less than that. Clear skies to the west, that's where the weather came from yesterday. Porsche, Corvette, then the McLaren is not in that battle, side by side almost across the line. Great run out of the final corner.
That's got some street
Nicky Kasberg. He gets the nose of the yellow Corvette ahead, but can't get the overlap to pull in and claim the line to the inside. The Porsche holding its line. The Porsche works driver, Matt Campbell, for Fab Motorsports in the driveway Porsche, leading then at Sebring. Big bump from Katzberg in second. Did he drop a wheel off the circuit there? It sounded like a real thud on the transmission, and he didn't get the drive out of the carousel. And alongside, here comes the 24 BMW of Nick Yellerly with Aaron Tielitz not too far behind either in the black and yellow RCF. And here comes the Lamborghini as well for TR3. That's Andrea Caldarelli.
Well,
and they're all there.
Yeah, and so is Jordan Pepper, who's in the lead now, GTD, in the McLaren car, number 70, all of a sudden, is in the lead of that class.
So that car, they're a further lap back from the cars ahead of them. But that is the lead GTD. So he's not battling for overall position in GTD, but he is battling at the lead of his own part of the GT category.
Cool stuff.
Just hearing from Shea, by the way, that was a rogue message. Core is on track and still circulating with John Bennett behind the wheel of that prototype. Fabulous battle in GTD Pro again, just as we had at the Rolex 24, and Matt Campbell has managed to get a little bit of a gap between himself and the following cars. Timing and scoring will catch up as they go across the line here. Another good run by Nicky Katzberg, but he knows he's not going to get the overlap. He tries to go down the inside, then cuts to the right. We've got traffic ahead, and that is side by side through turn one. This is getting all a bit unnecessary. Katzberg goes through to the lead but has to give it up. This side by side through turn three, Katzberg holds on to his line and goes through the lead. Now he's got to cut back to the left hand side. He kind of gets into the middle of the road, somehow squeezes round the outside. Outstanding driving, absolutely outstanding driving by everybody involved there. And Katzberg goes to P1, position number one, and the lead in GTD Pro. How long is he going to keep hold of it? I can't tell you.
V8 torque there from the Chevrolet
torque
Corvette.
How everybody talks about power, but you drive torque. And that was the drive of the torque there, Jeremy. You're spot on.
I think at the end of the straights, the Porsche's as quick as the Corvette. But coming off the corner, the early part of the straightaway, the Corvette definitely has an advantage there, and he was able to take advantage of it a couple of times and finally make that pass stick. That Corvette, of course, given a bit of balance of performance adjustment halfway through this week, an extra increase in the size of the engine restrictor. All of the normally aspirated engines are restricted. There's an air restrictor which restricts the amount of air, obviously, it goes into the engine. Air plus fuel equals horsepower, bit more air, bit more horsepower, and that is exactly what helped the Corvette to be right on in the mix here.
Fabulous run by Jordan Pepper in the Inception McLaren. He's leading GTD, mixing it with the leaders of GTD Pro. He's a lap away from these cars on the timing and scoring, but that doesn't matter to him. He's having a great time. So the battle for the lead in GTD through turn one, the cars were together. I thought the prototype might get involved here. It looked for a moment as though the Pfaff Porsche could hold on to that, but Nicky Katzberg, riding the blue and white curbs on the outside of turn number three and four, and then by the time he gets to Big Bend at turn five and under the Corvette bridge, he's got it done. He had to do that about three times before he actually made it stick. Huge dive down the inside by Matt Campbell. He was a full car length back there. But he managed to dispute it going into turn three. Good driving by all involved.
Yeah, great stuff. They're really good to watch there. And just tremendous battle between these two. But coming off each of the corners there, that Corvette has plenty of torque. And that's what enabled it to leap ahead there. The prototype in front just kind of trying to minding his own business. And did manage to keep out of the way of that. So hats off to him. Which car is that? It's number Is that the number 7 car? See which one it was, actually.
BMW for a moment got position, I think, on the Faf car, and that's just been taken back at the hairpin. So Matt Campbell for a moment had dropped down to third as the BMW went round the outside. Now they're clearing that prototype, but Katzberg's cleared off.
Yeah.
Hit the afterburners. Thank you and good night, Vienna. Oh, the touch on that car that was in front of it. It was the number 7 blue and black prototype, Jeremy. So you were spot on with that, the 47 motorsport car. And that there was a complete 360 and carried on.
Yeah. Cost him about a second and a half, I reckon. Almost like Rasmus Lind in that race at VIR a couple of years ago in the prototype challenges. Anthony Mantella, the Canadian, who got that car back under control again. And off he goes. Wow, that was impressive.
I apologise to Court and to John Bennett. That car has come into the pits. And
here we go, a replay.
I think there was a side by side. Oh no, it just ran over the curb.
Well, yeah, he kind of pinched
trying to keep
it down
out of the way of the BMW.
Yeah,
that's which, a heck of a save.
Which left him no room at all.
Heck of a save. That is the one of the faster parts of the circuit. BMW cuts across, and there's just I think he left him in the front there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Just the left rear Michelin drumming over the blue and white curb, I think. Yeah, got the car
all four off
the ground. Michelin tyres are good, but when airborne, not providing... Asterisk, when airborne, not providing grip. Into the pit lane for that. I'm not surprised. Change of underwear for the driver there. Anthony Mantella. Another pit lane speed limit violation from the number 54 Court Autosport car. That's the second time they've done that, so they're still having ECU or calibration problems. Front of the field, Will Stevens leads from Ollie Jarvis and Neil Jarney. Still just 3.5 seconds between the top three. That's the number 10, Conningham and Alta Acura from Mershank Racing with Kerb Agajanian in their Acura, and the first of the Cadillacs is Neil Jarney in the 02 Cadillac Racing machine. Out from behind the wall again, I'm walking wounded today. That's the story. That is going to be the story today. Real spirit of endurance with the Heart of Racing 27 car, which has been missing for quite some time, back in the fight.
Where are the LMP3 leaders? Because they came across the line, the top three cars, separated by a second, basically. Nose to tail. Number 74 car, Kai van Berle, with the young Danish driver, Malte Jakobsen, and Garrett Gruss, the Canadian, in numbers 33 and 30, respectively. All nose, absolutely nose to tail, if not even overlapping. Tremendous stuff. Meanwhile, Will Stevens, he's showing good speed here now, isn't he, at this stage in the race. 147.9 last time around for a race leader.
It is the 27 Heart of Racing Aston that's come out from behind the wall. 2.7. And I think he's just gone straight out. Memory serves, Shea, and I am.
He's allowed to do that, John. The problem was that the team was up on the wall with the fuel rig over their shoulder waiting for him to stop because they're pretty sure he doesn't have enough fuel to keep going. But the drama is that the sister car, the 23, just came creeping in. Alex Ribeiro's behind the wheel once again down the pit lane, and I got a sigh and a look of disdain from the team to say, ugh, not this again.
Well, what happened to number 02 car on that lap? He lost a couple of positions.
Correct.
To number 31 under 5.
Justin Nunes and Richard Busbeck going through.
Yeah. And Jose Maria Lopez in calibre 48 ducking onto pit lane. Again, a bit earlier than everybody else. I think he's realised that he's not going to get to the 8-hour mark. So come in now. At least he'll be better off than all of the others except for number 31 and 5 that made a pit stop right before the caution period came out. I think they should just about be able to get to the 8-hour mark where the next tranche of Michelin Endurance Cup points are awarded.
Kamui Kobayashi has taken over that car. I reckon that was only 13 laps for Jose Maria Lopez. So
that was
very short stint indeed.
Yeah, most of that was under yellow.
Yeah, absolutely. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get to us here in the studio.
He'd done a double sit before that, though.
True enough. 10 minutes before six. And we're live around the area on Highland's Best Country, WWOJ 99.1. We give them back their airwaves tomorrow, so you'll be back with the usual mix of new country and a selection of the classics, but also on News Talk 7:30 a.m. and 95.3 FM, and of course Sirius XM 206, as well as around the world on the global TV feed and IMSA radio around the world on RS2. Wherever you're watching or listening, thank you very much indeed. Still having a couple of people tweeting and saying, where can we watch if you're outside the US and in a country that doesn't have a network TV deal? Go to imsaradio.com, click on the live video tab on the front page there, and you'll be able to see uninterrupted coverage, no breaks, all the way through to the end for the next 4 hours and 19 minutes and a bit beyond that, I suspect, via the live video tab. It's the world TV feed. Good to have your company. Yanni in the 02 ran through the grass on the run through Bishop Bend after a cross three wide moment with the 62 Risi Competizione Ferrari and the 60 Meyer Shank. Thank you to the racing blog for that. He was watching on the onboard via IMSA.TV. Excellent stuff. We have eyes everywhere. Collective wisdom. So thank you very much, the racing blog, for tweeting that in at IMSA Radio. Number 30 out on the circuit at the moment, the Airbnb sponsored prototype. That is the Garrett Grisjevin Junior 3 racing car at the moment in third position on the racetrack. At the front of the field, Will Stevens, Connick Minolta Acura. 3 seconds to the good.
Yeah, what a stint this has been from Tristan Nunez. He's come from sixth place at the restart just 8 laps ago. He's now in second position, just 3 seconds behind Will Stevens in the lead. So that Whelan Engineering Cadillac is moving its way forward, tracking him now, or remains, Richard Westbrook, a number five car. Those two have been running in lockstep after exchanging positions shortly after the restart.
Down through the GT categories, it's been a battle of attrition today. Jordan Pepper leads GTD for Inception. They've just gradually stealthed their way up to the lead. They've got 2 seconds on Michael de Quesada, Allegra Motorsports. They've led the race today as well. Tony Vilander trying to hunt those two cars down in the Ferrari number 21. Then Frankie Montecalvo for Vasa Sullivan in the 12 Lexus. Andy Lally for Magnus Racing in the Aston Martin. They've been there or thereabouts for the last couple of hours. And Turner Motorsport, the Liquid Moly car, the 96 BMW. A little bit further down, Kevin Simpson for Gradient Racing. A couple of laps down now, quite a few laps down after some incidents in the 66 Gradient Acura. Declan Brennan, commercial director of Gradient, with us. We had Mark Miller, who's calling your strategy today, in with us yesterday for our WEC coverage. Not the way you would have liked this to go, but the car was looking very, very impressive and competitive in the early running. Great opening double stint from Till Bechtelsheim.
Well, both of the guys at the start were outstanding up until the incident with Till, or beg your pardon, with Kiffin. Till was magnificent on genuine pace. Moved from 10th to 6th, did exactly what we would have asked of him. A driver who will happily tell you that what he never wants to do is just be the guy who drives around and then give it to the pro and does all the work. So he was. It's very important the role he played at the start of the race.
I heard a vicious rumour that Andrus Levens, the team manager actually smiled during that stint?
It's only a rumour. We have no confirmation
of
this.
Hasn't been, no, I haven't seen officially sorted out. Do the team feel as though they're getting their heads around the NSX now? It's been a learning experience for the last couple of seasons. Effectively, you're doing one full season of IMSA in 2 years. You did the Sprint Cup last year. You're doing the Michelin Endurance Challenge this year. So that kind of spreads out the experience a little bit.
I don't think, if you asked Andres in a quiet moment of repose, I think we're not that far behind necessarily. I think a little bit more testing would always help, but that involves more cubic dollars, which we don't always have available down the back of the sofa. So what we have found, and what's been very encouraging about this weekend, is back to the point I was making about Till and Kiffin. We'll get to Kiffin in a moment, but Till's pace has been excellent. We've slowly worked through the issues we had with the car, and unlike Daytona, where because of we had that accident early on in practice, which left us miles behind in terms of laps and miles on track, we've had ample opportunity to work through what we have, and we have a great race car. But we did, and obviously by the times that Kiffin is now doing, we still do, and Mario earlier on was doing very solid times too. And just
it's
a word
kind
on
of what you expect from Mario, isn't it?
Well, yes,
you don't call him Super Mario for nothing.
But just a word on Kiffin. Kiffin, it's
young
so
lad,
hard.
Part
he's
of
17.
The development
yes,
program.
And he's 17. You know, when he's doing Indy Lights this year, he's a fantastic kid. He's quick. He was quick at Daytona. We had a great time with him. He's great to be with. He just, you know, the track bit him the way it bites everybody. Turn 17 is notorious for a reason. You know, it's going to take years, and experience doesn't come on your first visit, you know, or after a couple of test sessions. You have lots.
Hey, drivers of the caliber of Catherine Legg and Harry Gottsacker and one or two more have had some problems at 17 this year. It really has bitten a lot of people.
Yeah, and so, you know, and interestingly, this is the insight you get when you sit on the pit box. Mark Miller, literally within 3 or 4 minutes, who had the live data in front of him, pulled back through the data and worked out and basically diagnosed the incident via the driver data.
Got a battle in LMP3 heading through traffic. Kai van Berlo in the 74 Riley Motorsport, the Ranch 74 car. Malthy Mackinson, I've been very impressed at Malthy Jakobsen this weekend for Sean Creech Motorsport. Another one of the Scandinavian international drivers in the 33. Garrett Gris is only about another second behind. They're having a cracking day, and it's a Sean Creech Motorsport car that is ahead of that little battle at the moment as they come through turn 17, with the leaders coming through as well. Kami Kobayashi, Oliver Jarvis, first of all, for Mershank Racing, as they come across the line. 4 hours and 12 minutes to go, coming up to 6 o'clock in the evening. Jeremy.
Yeah, and Malthus Jakobsen just took the lead from Kai van Berlo on that lap. Those top three cars absolutely nose to tail. They're still in LMP3. The three Ligiers, Malthus Jakobsen in calibre 33, Kai van Berlo calibre 74, and Garrett Gris in calibre 30. They're probably heading towards turn three right now.
Coming up to 5 o'clock, you're listening to IMSA Radio live from Sebring, and thanks to our local and regional syndications, Highlands Best Country, WWOJ 99.1, they'll be back with their usual mix of the best of new country and all the classics tomorrow, in fact after us tonight. And we're also on News Talk 7:30 a.m. and the new News Talk FM frequency 95.3. thanks to Barry Foster and the rest of the guys for that.
What do you notice about both categories in GTD? We have
variety of manufacturers.
It's insane.
Yeah,
it is insane how
I'll ask the question then. How as a team do you decide which manufacturer you're going to go for when there's no obvious advantage to going with any of them? Come back to that in a moment. The pass for the lead down at turn 17 in LMP3, a lap ago, little bump in the first part from Sean Creech Motorsport car, but that didn't make it happen. Down through turn one, this was last lap around, little bit wide by the Ranch 74 car, and That might have just been enough. It was just in a fine, fine margins,
wow,
Jeremy.
That
you're talking about. Incredible. That is so fast through there.
That was a tremendous pass there by Malte Jakobsen, the 18-year-old Danish rider. He is good.
How
and just
many
a fine young man,
too. Race,
he's such a cool kid as well.
Smash.
Really impressed. Look how he's pulled away all of a sudden
he's
now.
He's gone.
From Kai van Berlo.
Kai van Berlo is no slouch.
And has a lot of experience in these cars. Okay, so does Malte in Europe last year or so. But still to be pulling away so quickly from the what has been the dominant car in LMP3 last season. Didn't win here, but won just about everything else.
I'll reset that question to you, Declan Brennan, from Gradient Racing. How do you choose which manufacturer when none of them seem to be preeminent in terms of speed, liability, potential for winning? Or does it not matter?
Well, what's interesting about it, particularly with GTD on the Pro-Am side, is oftentimes it may be dictated by your gentleman driver who may have a passion for a particular brand. That tends to, so a guy will come to you and say, I want to race a Lamborghini.
Yep.
Or interestingly enough, being in America, I would not be surprised, and based on the things we've heard, a lot of people are saying, I would like to race a Mustang.
Right.
In GT3.
Yeah.
I think.
Which is 24, isn't it?
That will... I and this is based on like bits that I've heard and just it feels to me like that brand, particularly to the American customers, is a huge, huge carrot. If you can mix my metaphors, that horse is a carrot.
That horse is he's eating a huge carrot. The other side of it is, of course, we're going to get the Corvette as well with a purpose-built GTD. That's again a little bit further away. That's going to be another brand that's iconic here in the USA.
Yeah, and Ford versus Chevy has always and will always mean a lot. So
why Acura for Gradient then? That, I suppose, is what I was getting to.
Number of reasons. Relationships at the time, there was we felt like it was a good opportunity to get involved with that brand, seeing as they were moving out of the Shank program. And we felt like we'd get good support, which we do get, and it allowed us
this
to develop other
performance development.
Yeah,
HPT,
and it's allowed us to develop other strands to the business. Like we, as you probably know, we build the Civic Type R touring car, not the TCR car. Obviously, that's JS in Italy, but we build the touring car. We have
the SI that's.
It's a Civic. It's a we get Civic Type R bodies in white from Swindon,
right? Not anymore.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah.
We've been building on those cars, have won championships now in SRO, and they're obviously ready for SRO competition all around the world, but we're seeing customers who want them for track day cars, and they're going to be available in other... So that's... We felt, working with HPD... Working with HPD allowed us to tap into that and effectively build our business. So that, but everybody's decision on what GTD platform, GT3 platform, is going to be different. Like it's a brilliant question because ultimately, I don't know the actual answer.
Right.
I only know anecdotally what people have been doing.
So how has the introduction of
GTD Pro
affected what is happening on your side of things? Everybody likes to race for the overall, but there's still a championship and there's still a podium for the GTD, which has to be a Pro-Am line.
But what's very interesting about that is if you just look at the quality of GTD drivers, what you realise is that it's not diminished in any way by being the GTD being Pro-Am, because if you look, you're up against Philander and Lally and
Jordan Pepper, former Bentley factory driver,
Mario Farnbacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And the depth is there, so the challenge is no different. What's interesting is the bigger GTD field. Yes, it presents its own challenges, but ultimately, it seems like it's a cliche, but the rising tide thing means that the whole category looks phenomenal now.
So committed to the Michelin Endurance Cup, which is theoretically would be the Ceylon 6 Hours of the Glen, and then Mutil Petit Le Mans at Michelin Road Atlanta.
Yes.
Any plans for any little wild card entries into other races?
Well, we'd like to. We're like a lot of other people. We're constantly working as hard as we can to find partnerships and opportunities, because we want to do, for example,
Long Beach is just around the corner.
And it's also, having done it last year for the first time with the Dimi, it's just a magnificent event that you want to have your team showcased, in front of huge crowds, in a massive market for Acura.
Yeah.
So we're working on something. I don't know if that's going to, probably unlikely at this stage, but we're going to work hard.
Dex, thanks for coming over. And we wish you all the best. And say thanks to, when you get back over there, say thanks to Mark Miller for yesterday. He was an absolute star with us. Declan Brennan, thank you very much indeed.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Hard-working team from the guys at Acura and Gradient Racing. Let's take an update from Shea Adam in the pit lane on Corvette number 3.
Nicky Katzberg's not having the easiest day out there. He's been left out on tires that picked up a lot of marbles during the yellow flag sessions, but then he made up for it by that great battle with Philip Eng. We already spoke to Philip a bit earlier on. Well, I want to talk to Nicky, but he's refusing to get out of the car right now. He did have contact with someone. He reported he was hit in the right rear. The right rear of the car is fine, but there is a dive plane wedged into the passenger side door, and Nicky can hear it in the car.
Side by side for position. Mustang sampling going through. That was a super maneuver there. And the Mustang sampling number 5 car entered, of course, as JDC Miller Motorsports. Richard Westbrook goes by Tristan Nunes and into second position just before the 8-hour mark. That's the next time, Jeremy, that we're going to be big lock up. Big lock up from the 31. Tristan Nunes, Whelan Engineering Cadillac, lost the back end of that car and was very, very lucky. No, let's put that another way. He was very, very impressive to hold on to that. There's an element of luck, but a huge slice of skill involved in there. It looked like the back end was completely locked up on that Whelan Cadillac as he was coming down through the back of the circuit, through the Jean de Bien bends and down towards the Le Mans right-hander onto the back straight, to the Alec Ullman straight. And that, well, these drivers are pretty amped up all of the time, but that would really have caught Tristan Nunes's attention. Neil Chani dives into the pit lane in the number 02 Cadillac, and we'll just keep an eye on what's going on there. Let's see if Chani has Tristan Nunes rather has any further problems in that red and white car.
Away from the 8-hour mark in the race, which is the next time that Michelin Endurance Cup points will be awarded. The question is really, I think the number 5 and the 31 can get where we just see the number 02 car in the pits. Can the number 10 car get there as well? It'll be a real stretch on fuel if he does.
Jeremy Shaw there with me, John Hindhoff in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Thank you very much indeed. Good to have your company. And we come to the end of this hour. Hello to Frank Plasmans. Nice to know you're tuned in from the Netherlands. Lots of interest from that area of the world and in the Scandinavian territories as well. Let's give you a quick VP Racing Fuel in race update as we're about to go to the 8-hour mark. Will Stevens, Conic Minolta, Acura leads by 0.4 seconds over Richard Westbrook. We've got a battle for the lead there. 2.3 seconds further back is Ollie Jarvis. 10, 5 and 6. Acura Cadillac and Acura. Tristan Nunes maybe battling a car. Yeah, they've all stayed out as they go through. Earl Bamber in the 0-2 has taken over that Cadillac as he comes back into the fray. And LMP2 just out of the pit lane. Scott Huffaker for PR1 Matheson. As his teammate Jonathan Bomarino comes in, Kyle Tilley for ERA Motorsport is in third. LMP3, Malte Jakobsen, Sean Creech Motorsport, the number 33, after a stunning overtaking manoeuvre to take the lead from Kai van Berlo, Riley Motorsports, the blue and orange number 74, and Garrett Grist for Junior 3 Racing in the yellow and black number 30. GTD Pro Corvette from BMW, from Lamborghini, it's the number 3. Bright yellow Corvette from the 24, Nick Yellerly driven BMW M Team RLL, and TR3 Racing is the bright green Lamborghini with Andrea Caldarelli, the 63. And in GTD, Jordan Pepper for Inception Racing, McLaren still leading its class in the dark grey with the red highlights. Then Tony Wielander for AF Corsa's Ferrari, the number 21 car, and Allegra Motorsports in the mainly silver Mercedes AMG GT3, the number 28. That's your VP Fuels, the VP Racing Fuels update at 8 hours. Wow, what a last third of the race we've got to go. Those are the teams that are making power as we head into the last 4 hours, and the next racing hour starts right now.